Welcome to Cabot Coverage, the podcast where three sisters and a beloved family friend discuss the crime-solving adventures of mystery novelist Jessica Fletcher on Murder, She Wrote. I'm Susanna.
I'm Megan.
I'm Glynis.
And I'm Ashley.
And this week we're discussing Obituary for a Dead Anchor, which is episode 9 from season 3 and originally aired on the 7th of December, 1986. Our writer is Robert Van Schoik. He wrote the teleplay for this one. He has written 24 episodes. The episodes he's written that we've covered are Hooray for Homicide, Murder at the Oasis, A Lady in the Lake, Who Threw the Barbitals and Mrs. Fletcher's Chowder, Murder Through the Looking Glass, Benedict Arnold's Slipped Here, The Sins of Castle Cove, The Big Show of 1965, Family Doctor, Love and Hate in Cabot Cove, Murder on the 30th Floor, Unwilling Witness, Something Foul in Flappyville, and What You Don't Know Can Kill You.
Wow.
How many more of his do we have?
Not that many. Yeah, remember? I mean, we've done a lot of his. Some good, some not so good. So we'll get to discussing this one, I guess. Okay. So Jessica has agreed to an interview by, I guess it's like a news magazine called Scrutiny, led by one of their anchors called Paula Roman, played by Kathleen Lloyd. So they're going to come, Scrutiny's going to come to Cabot Cove and do the interview. And it's meant to be a homespun, why Jessica Fletcher loves Cabot Cove kind of an interview. But little does Jessica know that in the background of all of this, one of the anchors of Scrutiny, a man called Kevin Keats, played by Chad Everett, he does sort of expose style interviews and like sort of gotcha journalism. And he has just run afoul of a major drug dealer by sort of outing him in an interview that he's a drug dealer. And so he needs to sort of have a lower profile. So it's insisted that he take over Paula's interview in Cabot Cove. The other person involved in Scrutiny is another anchor called Nick Brody, played by Mark Stevens, and he's the more experienced anchorman on the show. So the show is produced by Doug Hellman, played by Robert Pine, and the VP for news at this network is Richard Abbott, played by Robert Lipton. So they all agree that Kevin's going to go to Cabot Cove, take over Paula's interview with Jessica Fletcher. The townspeople in Cabot Cove are very excited about all of these people coming, particularly Mayor Sam Booth, played by Richard Paul, and hotel manager for the Hill House Hotel, I think it is, George Fish, played by Rex Robbins. Also in town is Sheriff Amos Tupper, played by Tom Bosley, but he's a little more concerned about the comings and goings of Scrutiny as they're coming to Cabot Cove. So Kevin starts the interview with Jessica and he goes in a little too hot and Jessica has to put him in his place. And then it's all going to be fine, except he asks Amos Tupper if he can find him a boat. And we don't know why. So Amos finds him a boat from Augie Wilkins, I think. And Kevin gets on the boat and within about 5 seconds of departing from the dock in Cabot Cove, the boat explodes. And so then all of Scrutiny come to Cabot Cove to set up sort of a crisis center to do all of this reporting from, to find out what's happened to Kevin and who was after him. Amos thought he saw one of the drug dealer's thugs getting off a helicopter just before he came back to Cabot Cove. So he thinks it could be them. Anyways, turns out Kevin's not actually dead. So the body in the boat is actually producer Doug Hellman. So eventually we find Kevin. He's alive. Oh, also in town, I forgot to mention, is Kevin's ex-wife, Judith Keats, played by Abby Dalton, who is very angry with him. And he is now having an affair. Well, I guess it's not an affair because he and his ex-wife aren't together anymore. He's in a relationship with Paula Roman. So we find Kevin. We find out it was Doug in the boat. We find out that Doug and Kevin had conspired between them to try to get the boat to get out of town so they could get down to New Hampshire to interview a witness for one of their stories, I think to do with the drug dealer.
Yeah, the drug dealing art person.
But the boat exploded, so they think it was the drug dealing art guy. But anyways, long story short, it turns out it was our more experienced anchorman, Nick Brody, because he had heard, overhearing Doug Howman, that so Doug had told him that the fans weren't interested in Nick Brody anymore based on some sort of watcher survey. They were going to get rid of him. And he had heard about Doug and Kevin's plan with the boat. So he planted the bomb to get rid of Doug so that he could buy himself more time as anchor on Scrutiny. And of course, the whole story of Kevin's death was giving him ample opportunity to kind of up his profile. But then, anyways, Jessica catches him. It's very sad because it's like an older guy being put out to pasture when he feels he has more to give, but also he probably shouldn't have put a bomb on a boat. Anyway, so.
And it abruptly ends. It's just done. She busts him. And he wants to send out his last thing, and then it's the episode's over.
I mean, there's, yes. So we have a couple of fun facts with this one. This was Richard Paul's first appearance in Cabot Cove as do-nothing mayor Sam Booth.
Do nothing there. Is that what
That's from
you?
IMDb. That is a quote from IMDb.
Okay.
He's in a total of 8 episodes. Jessica's middle name is Beatrice. Kevin says that in the interview, so we know that. Angela Lansbury had been Mark Stevens, who played Nick Brody, his leading lady in a movie called Mutiny from 1952. So they go way back.
In a little rhyming
Yeah,
situation.
Mutiny, Scrutiny, very
Scrutiny.
good. Very, very good. And then there was a couple of other fun facts. One was around a helicopter, which you can look it up on IMDb if you want to. And the other was around Kathleen Lloyd, and she had been a regular on Magnum PI. And so they, whoever wrote the fact, thought it was interesting that she wasn't in the crossover episode of Murder, She Wrote Magnum PI, but was in this episode of Murder, She Wrote, which occurred, I guess, not long after or sort of around the same time as Magnum on Ice, according to that person.
That is true.
So, obituary for a dead anchor, you know, season three. It's a transitionary period, I think, for
And we're
Murder,
in that phase. We haven't been there in a while with an early episode where they're con like where the news reporter calls it a jerk water town. I like
I
back in
love
the day when they were
it.
calling Cabot Cove a jerk water down. Like, what does that mean?
I mean, it is funny because in the first few seasons, I guess they make fun of Cabot Cove the whole time, but they really, people are like, this is a dump. It's a little like silly town that she's from. She happens to be like sort of attached to. Whereas I feel like later on, it's like a very cutesy, like kind of
Well, because he
tourist
kind of
attraction.
goes in on her about why she stayed there, and he like keeps asking her questions about that. I think she answered it pretty well. She's basically like, this is where I built my life and also where I started my second life.
Yeah, and she likes it there. And she, you know, it's her attachment to Frank. And she also, like,
It's a cute town too. Like they're not like I don't know
she
that.
likes the
Aside
people.
from all the teens, it's a great place to Yeah,
live.
like, and the
Oh,
men
yeah.
that are from there. Knock me.
Is Jessica, I know I probably asked this before, is Jessica not from Cabot Cove?
I don't know. And then, or was Frank from there?
I thought Frank was from there, and that's where they moved to.
Oh, okay. I guess
I
I just
thought
assumed.
that was what
So
we
he was a
found
Cabot
out.
Cove teen once?
And a Cabot Cove man.
A Cabot Cove man is just the worst because here we have Wiley. I did a
Oh,
light
yeah.
research to see because I recognized him, and he's in another episode that I like a lot with Leslie Nielsen with the people that are diving off the boat for like treasure. And I'm like, what the hell is this guy doing here? And I didn't realize like how annoying he is. He's like, ugh, a curmudgeon, Seth. Like he's just there to rail on Seth and like. I don't know. He's
Didn't mind
cute.
him. Yeah.
He's like Seth without the charm. So,
Right.
like, Seth has a certain, because he's kind of like, Seth's kind of cute looking because he's got his little old-timey glasses and he dresses like, you know, he's got a sort of appeal to him. Whereas Wiley, though hotter, I think it's safe to say, is perhaps a little bit more devoid of a personality other than they love to rag on Seth. It's like, leave him alone. The man's not there to defend himself. Like, why are you being so mean?
Yeah, agreed. I was like, I don't know. I remember, I don't know. When we watched, I watched it with Glynis first and then Susanna second. And I was like, oh, this guy. Because there was a period where it was like, he's no Ben Devlin news
Oh God, no.
reporter.
That's like, this is the trouble. It's like you can't replace them like for like that is the thing. So when Amos goes, you get Mort. Mort and Amos are very different people, like, and so that's important because if they're the same, you're just like, well, this guy's not as good as that guy. And the trouble is, whenever they bring in a replacement for Seth, they try to make him a little bit too grumpy. And it's like, no, that's all Seth's deal. Like, Wiley should love, like, I don't know, like fishing or something. I don't know. I mean, Seth's probably like that too. But it's like, or he should be like sort of excited about, the prospect of, I don't know.
He's
He was
like,
a good doctor.
and then that was weird, and then I mean, I love seeing, I just felt like, oh gosh. So some of the complaints I read online, I think they were on IMDb, were that they thought they made Amos too stupid in this episode.
I think he d isn't. I
I
think
didn't think so either, because
I thought he
he
was
is kind of,
fine.
but then he like called it that there's no way
Yeah.
that that guy could have,
The one part where he's like, he does seem quite daft is when he shows up and he's like, all these news people must be introduced to that helicopter. It's like they clearly are filming from a van and there's this new guy in town and he just keeps banging on about, like, oh, when are the news people gonna get into town? And that whole scene, I mean, went on for like 5 minutes. And so that one, I would say, does not make him seem that smart.
I thought Amos was standard Amos. I didn't think anything different of it, but I don't know. I thought he was funny and he added some levity to the situation that it needed.
Yeah, that was the only bit that like I could have seen being sort of, because normally he's like a little bit silly, but that one, it just went on and on and he kept cutting off the guy and be like, hang on, mister. And then he's like, who's this, like, wisecracker?
Right.
Well, and then she said, oh, you did something. And he's like, when did I do that? But it's like really obviously when he did it in the interview. Oh, I do. Sorry, keep going. But then I have a question.
Well, no, I was gonna say, I feel like Amos, I thought differently about this episode because it's very rare that Amos gets a moment where he's solved something. Because normally he's just sort of a bit inept, or he's like kind of kind-hearted or whatever, or he just doesn't, can't be bothered sometimes is the deal. But so it's odd for him to have a moment where he literally solves the bit about the bomb, where he's like, we can't be this guy for this reason. And Jessica's like, yep, that's right. Because Amos never gets a moment like that. Mort does sometimes, but it's like, so I actually thought he came across, I know what you're saying about the bit with the interviewer, but it's like,
I
it
get
just went
that.
on for so long.
I feel like because it was like a big city news agency, they had to dial up the like small townness of it. And so like a bumbling sheriff bit, I think they needed it. But I mean, I think to your point, it did go on for a while. Like, 'cause it started with him driving, eyeing the helicopter. And then it
And then
ended with him
he
interrupting the shoot. And you're like, well, that was a very long bit.
And like they're on like a really like random street, like walking with a big white van parked at the end. Like
I know,
it
I get
just
what you're
I
saying.
get it. Yeah,
Being like
totally.
Amos, and he's like,
But it did, it was, it did go on forever, but I felt like a Monty Python sketch where you're like, where is it gonna end? When is it gonna end?
Okay, my other question is, Nick, the guy that blew up the boat, was he trying to kill both of them, or he knew that Kevin would be off the boat by then?
I think the main person he was trying to kill was Doug. That was my understanding
Yeah,
of it,
that's
was
what
he
it seemed
wanted to
like,
kill
but
Doug. I don't know if Kevin was, although he didn't seem that bothered when he thought Kevin was dead.
that's true.
So I guess maybe Kevin, well, if Kevin died, he'd then be the only lead
Anchor.
male anchor, with Paul as his co-anchor, but.
And that they would have like had this conversation, Doug and Kevin, like in front of him, but they didn't care.
They were on the phone. I
Like,
love that Jessica's like, but who could they have had the conversation in front of where they wouldn't have cared if they were being listened to?
so
It's like,
mean.
ugh. I don't think he wanted to kill Kevin.
But he would have made the whole plan.
But I don't be, but he Kevin wasn't trying to get him fired. Only Doug was doing that.
I
So
sort
I don't
of saw it
know.
as like collateral
Collateral
damage.
damage. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But I don't think he, because he knew that Kevin would be on the boat, and he knew the other guy would be on the boat, and so I think he just was trying to get both of them.
Get as many as possible.
Yeah. Like shooting fish in a barrel.
Yes. He's just like,
So dark.
it's so dark. And you're just like, there's gotta be a better way to try to handle this.
Yeah.
And then Susanna and I we rewatched it. I was trying to remember more of his monologue, and he's like, he forgot, he focused on the wrapping paper, instead of on the product. Like, oh, Nick.
It is like kind of a bummer. I feel like these episodes, like I think Murder, She Wrote has a lot of sympathy for older people being made to feel unimportant in a newer modern world that doesn't appreciate their expertise. So there is like that is there. I mean, it's just also like these people when they've committed like a fairly horrific like thing. And then they just sat there like focusing then on something, and you're just like, oh God, this person is like no longer with us. Like,
Right. He's like working on his story and he doesn't. This, I was okay, because when I was growing up, it was like 2020 with Hugh Downs and Barbara Walters. And I was
Oh,
like,
yeah.
this would be like if Hugh Downs had like run amok and was like
Right.
pulling people
I mean, sometimes like I do this
up.
thing where I need to figure out if somebody from my childhood was like a terrible monster. And
Right.
so Hugh Downs didn't die that long ago. It was a little while ago,
No.
but I was like desperate to find out if Barbara Walters liked Hugh Downs because I was like, I need to know because he was such a prevalent part of my childhood. I like needed to know that he wasn't a bad guy, but she wrote a very like glowing obituary about him, like in terms of working with him and stuff. And so I think it was
He
fine,
didn't try
but
to blow up like his coworkers.
God, no, he didn't. He didn't. He saved that for
As far as we know.
that's the other guess. It's like Hugh Downs. It's like
Rather.
Dan Rather. Yeah. All these
Yeah.
guys.
Okay, he
I
died.
think. Oh, go ahead, Megan.
He was 99.
Yeah.
And
He
Great.
died on 2020. But wait, am I like
Yeah.
misremembering? You can delete this. He was like, and I'm Hugh Downs.
No, you haven't
No,
misremembered,
that
and I'm
was
absolutely not deleting that.
right.
Okay. Is that going to be the
And also, I remember when he and
soundbite?
Barbara Walters hosted 2020. I mean, he seemed like an elderly man
Yeah.
then, and that was like 30 years ago, but I liked them together. They had a real gravitas to them, the two of
No.
them
Yeah.
together. And it's also like, you start to think now, like, would there be many like news magazine programs that would be hosted by, I don't think Barbara Walters was necessarily that old, but like they were both sort of, had done the circuit of the sort of more national news kind of thing. And this was their.
He died when he was 99.
Yeah. 2020 must have
Yeah.
been kind of a sweet gig.
I mean,
Like,
yeah, it was 10 p.m. on a Friday. But I'm sure they recorded it before, right? And then,
Oh, yeah, it's an hour of
and
once a
then, I
week.
mean,
Like, how much
amazing.
reporting do you have to do?
Well, and he died in 2020.
Oh, you're saying the irony of that is that he was on a show called
I
22. Okay.
see what you're saying, Ben. I see you now.
I like you both are looking at me like, yeah, we just said
I was
that.
like, I literally just said that. Don't try to slip back.
I want you to say Hugh Downs again.
And I'm Hugh Downs.
I had a question. So the Cabot Cove Gazette lady, is this her one time foray into the
She's
I've
the one
never
in the
seen her.
big hat.
Yeah, big hat and brightly colored outfits.
I did wonder, I wanted more of her. And
Don't yeah.
so she didn't show up in any other episodes.
Was there a Cabot Cove Gazette episode or a newspaper episode?
Well,
Wasn't
that's where
there?
Ben Devlin worked.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. So is that our only link in with
I
the
think
Gazette is Ben?
I'm looking her up.
There's the one where Jessica is the like on the ground reporter on behalf of her friend who's the newspaper man who has a heart attack and he's in the hospital.
Wait,
And
I
he gets
don't.
Jessica to do all of his research for him. So she's
Oh,
doing all the
yeah.
interviews and stuff. That's a really fun episode. But he
Yeah.
doesn't work. He works for like the New York Times or something like that. Like he's like a real journalist. But I think you're right though, Ashley. Like I think this episode set in Cabot Cove with all these outsiders coming in, I think it needed to have a little more of like the hometown people versus the big city people.
Yeah.
And I think we spent too much time focusing on Kevin's romantic relationships with his ex and with Paula, which I thought the Paula Roman storyline was completely unnecessary. Like, I
Agree.
think you could have cut it and not had, and you could have just had her motive for being there that he'd taken her interview and she was annoyed about that. But
Exactly.
like they
I
had
agree.
no sexual chemistry.
Yeah.
I didn't even, the only reason I knew they were dating
But
is
she
because they,
needed an in for like when he came back out of hiding.
I mean, I guess, but like all she did was she was like saying how happy she was. It's like, I would like to see
Oh,
it.
I meant Jessica. Like there needed to be an
Oh,
avenue
yeah,
where
that's a good
he
point.
came
I
out of
guess
hiding.
so.
He
She's
has
just
all
giddy
10
as a
toes.
schoolgirl.
Oh my
She's just
gosh.
a
She's
schoolgirl.
so angry.
Yeah.
But also, like they didn't even kiss or nothing. Like it's like, how do we know these people are not together? Like, I'm
Right,
sorry. I
right.
don't care what they say. They
Yeah.
were like, there's a bit, the bit where he's been put in jail because his boss insists that he stays in jail. And she's like, you've got to stay here because like Richard says that you have to stay here. And he's like, I was like, oh, so you're imprisoning him against his will, like, and you're his girlfriend. Like, that all sounds not right. And like, they just didn't, if it's that like scandalous of a thing, they should have smooched at least once. I mean, I don't know, or something. But I'm not saying we would have wanted that.
I don't think either of them wanted to smooch each other. Like, it just didn't.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's true, but also like then they need to work a little harder to make us believe that they're an item because I don't did not see that. And also like I don't know. That bit was so annoying. I think you could have written it a different way and not had it be like that. Also like I don't want to be this person. Kevin's hand, the color of his hand was bright orange. Like I like it was a different color than even his face, which was also very heavily tanned. But it was like when he puts his hand out at one point, I was like, that is truly shocking, that color.
Yeah.
I did notice he was tan, but I didn't. Also, just back to what you're saying, I also did not need the vengeful ex-wife. Like, I feel like Murder,
Oh,
She Wrote, they
no.
always throw in the like angry ex-wife, and it's like, but then they're like always willing to get back together with the guy, and you're like, no, this guy's an idiot. Like, and or I mean, he's not an idiot. Well, he seemed
I
annoying.
found her
She was
funny,
fabulous, and he
but
was kind of a
yeah,
bobo.
I don't know. I found her funny. Yeah. She's drinking at the bar in every single
Okay,
scene.
I did. You're right. I did
And
like
then
that.
Jessica's trying to talk to her, and she goes, "I'd ask you to join me, but I've already had my daily consumption."
I was impressed with the like knowing when to call it quits.
I agree with the vengeful ex-wife. Like, that's just a trope that, like, I don't know if they needed it, but she did add a little levity to, like, a very bizarre love
You're right.
triangle. Like, unbelievable
Well,
love
and I did
triangle.
like that
So
she unbelievable, Ashley. Sorry, that is. flew to Cabot Cove just to like harass him, basically, and like cold call him, but then like show up. And I was like, you know, it's a level of crazy that I can buy in on.
Okay, yeah, I just was kind of like, don't need this exactly. And then
It's a lot of extra characters, but he
yeah.
could have just had the vengeful ex-wife and the upset coworker.
That's true. Like, give
And
me
maybe he
more
relied on the
Aiden.
coworker, like he revealed to her. Like, maybe there didn't have to be a romance between them.
Yeah, I needed more
No.
Amos. I needed more Mayor Booth. Like,
Always. Did not know he was an accountant.
I didn't, I don't think I knew that until this episode. Maybe they don't talk about it after, or do they?
I don't know. Yes, Sam. I mean, but this is what I mean. It's like, I think you could have cut that all way, way back. I also thought the ex-wife was Karen Black. From the preview, I was like, is Karen Black in this episode? And Megan was like, no,
I
it's a
thought
different lady.
she was the lady from Murder Under the Wisterias, like the blonde former, like
Oh, yeah, she does look like
the
that.
faded. Not her. Yeah,
Oh, yeah, she looked like that too.
we
Because they
needed an Uncle Eugene. We needed
were.
something to like spice this up.
I think that you're right, Ashley. Like the ex-wife was one component we didn't need. And she never had any interaction with Kevin, ever. Her scenes were only with Jessica. And also, she was staying at the Idle Hour Motel,
Okay, I
which I
want to
thought
know
was
more about
funny.
that
Off
place.
Route 6 or something like that, like off the highway.
There was a couple of I just that love storyline was not I it just did not, you know, when like you can see the writer trying to like work hard to set it up through the lines that they're having people deliver, and you're like, the fact that you're having to like do this much exposition on a romantic relationship just feels like insane. Like you should just show them holding hands and like, you know, that's like, oh, there we go. Or like one line in the office before he gets sent out to Cabot Cove, where she's like, I'm worried about you. And he goes, like, don't worry, babe. Like, I'll be fine. And like, you know, something. Kevin. I guess Kevin lived.
Yeah, he was
Weird.
fine. I'm a little like maybe I'm just missing, like a little confused because Nick blew the boat up to kill Doug, correct? But then how would he have figured out which boat it was? I know he makes it like I didn't get to this age as like a news man without, but like had he talked to Augie before? And then was their initial plan? Ah, God, it's so confusing. Like,
So what Amos said was Augie had told him at 8 p.m. the night before that he could have the boat. I'm assuming that Amos then told, what's his name, Kevin, to meet him at the dock first thing in the morning, and he was going to give him this boat, and that
yeah.
Kevin had told Doug, who Nick overheard saying about the boat. That's what I guess would
But
happen,
Doug would
but.
have had to repeat back everything that, but maybe he wasn't, maybe Kevin was like, okay, repeat back everything that I've just said to you, to me, so I understand you've
Wait,
got it.
and then Doug, what was Doug's end game? Like when Nick like went off the boat, because wasn't he gonna like pull out and then Nick was gonna swim or Kevin was gonna swim away?
Yeah, he was gonna keep the boat going so it looked like Kevin was on it. So that people wouldn't know he was trying to kind of get a hold of this
But then what
witness.
was Doug gonna do with the boat?
Wait for Kevin to come back, right? And then go back to shore.
But I thought he picked the boat because he knew people were after him. Like, is he just like laying him out? Like, is he like is a lamb to slaughter? Like,
I think Kevin just didn't want to be followed to seeing the witness that was going to out the art dealer. So he was trying to keep The art dealers, guys. If I mean, I guys, I literally, I don't know.
I'm
Like
just
this.
glad you're confused too, because like I don't know. I was like, wait, what's this plan again?
I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you. Like, this was not one that really captured my attention. Like, I certainly, I don't know. And when it turned out Kevin was alive, I was like, what? I don't know if this is even something I care about. Like, but it was, I did like, when he was hiding out in the motel, he had like a giant bag of potato chips. That was
I
like
missed
all he was
that.
eating. I was like, yeah, I guess that is what you do if you're hiding out in a motel. It's just like.
That would be me with Cheez-Its, just like everywhere. Oh, really quick. I also was like, I didn't love Nick. I kept calling her kid. Oh my God, yeah. I was like, okay, kid. Like, and then she's like, let go of me. I don't know. It got weird. Oh, I guess that's sort of a she shake.
Well, it's one of, yeah, it is, but it's one of those things where he like, she seems so happy to see Nick at first, and we're like, oh, like these two have a nice relationship. And then as soon as they see each other, he like starts bossing her around and she doesn't like it. So it's like, so what is their relationship with each other? Like,
Weird.
it seems bad. Is this another romantic relationship? Murder, She Wrote's trying to explain to us. It's some sort of, it's just so crazy. But yeah, I think this one, I have a lot of notes, but most of them are like really little things that happened that were just kind of funny.
Have burns. I have a bunch of burns.
I have many quotes. But my favorite, just one little note, was they called Seth to ask if anyone in Cabot Cove had eight toes.
Oh yeah, I forgot about
Yes.
that
And I
joke.
was like, the fact that he'd have like a memory, like A, he's seen everybody in Cabot Cove, and B, that he'd know who has eight toes and would reveal that information to obviously Wiley, or what's the guy's name who's subbing for him?
Wiley, yeah.
Wiley and Jessica. I mean, it's fine, but it's odd.
And
Anyway.
then, yeah.
And the fact that the coroner, well, I think it's still Wiley, but like asked Jessica, hey, do you know if anybody has, can you ask her how many toes her husband has?
And she's like, what?
She's like 10, no dirt.
Yeah, there's like 10 dozen everyone.
Well, now I want to see if like maybe Seth was like sick or filming something else at this time, because it's the same season that guy shows up twice as Wiley. But it's like they don't want you to forget, like, no, Seth is still around, like, don't worry about it. Because when Amos leaves, they're just like, oh, Amos went to go sit live with his sister in
North
Augusta or
Carolina.
something, like, he's just kind of gone.
Well, and it's funny, you're right. They want us to remember about Seth, but like Wiley and Jessica's own, the only connection they have is Seth. Like, they only want to talk about Seth to each other. It's like all they do is sit around reminiscing about Seth. And it's like, wow, that is weird. Like, they don't have anything else going on that they're just gonna sit and play chess. I mean, the thing where they're sitting playing chess while people are banging on the front door to like try to interview Jessica, ew, that made me chuckle a little bit. And like, but
The scene where people are like fight, not fighting, but sort of like in front of the mayor's office, like that's pretty funny.
yes, that was good. I mean, there's a funny bit where a person is crossing in front of a cameraman and he shoves her out of the way. Do you remember this,
Oh,
Megan?
yeah.
That I was like, that's a perfect shot. Like, why this whole episode? Like, if it was a little more like that, where it's just a bit sillier. But no.
I did write down a funny line when was it Doug's in jail? And I can't remember if it's Paula who says it or whoever says it. And it's like basically saying that he can't leave jail because he's as famous as Ronald McDonald. And they're like not joking around.
No,
It's
like they're like, you are so famous.
you're as famous as Ronald McDonald.
No, it's not like ha ha ha. It's like No, that's famous.
That is pretty famous, though. Like, no joke. They also mention a lot about like how the lowbrow story that they might get if they don't cover the Cabot Cove one is a boy joining the girls' basketball team in like
Oh, I
Nebraska or
know.
something.
They
And
talk about that constantly.
they keep mentioning it. And I'm like, listen, I hate being this person that's always saying stuff like this. Is that a less like interesting or highbrow story than like a sort of Polaroid, not Polaroid, like a sort of like travel log about going to Cabot Cove? To me, those seem like the same story. Like, one is about a little small town where a boy's joined a girls' basketball team, and one's about a mystery writer that lives in a sleepy town in Maine. Like, that's the same type of story. Like, did not.
No, the whole scrutiny. Scrutiny seems like it's trying to be like Dateline. So you're not gonna have like a puff piece at all.
You did used to sometimes have it on like a 2020 where
Yeah.
you'd have an interview, or you'd have a, the thing where they're walking down the road and filming them doing the interview. That's like
Yeah.
classic
Oh, good.
interview stuff. I mean, love it. Like, that is amazing.
It's funny because I mean, like, I walk and talk with friends, but I don't feel like that's like when like my most like poignant arguments happen.
I mean, I guess like, are people letting their guard down because they're like trying to focus on not falling over or something like that? I don't
Right.
know. I did think it was funny that Keats wasn't going to pay Amos back for the boat.
So good.
Oh yeah, I know, and Amos was freaking out.
There, we have a shop called the Lady of Fashion Boutique, which I liked the look of. I think that's where Jessica gets some outfits. I like that they say they 86'd him, or they were going to 86 him, which I don't know if people say that anymore. Maybe they don't. I think that's a good expression, but I don't know where it comes from.
Like a law number or something like that.
Oh.
Like that's like the like code whatever, code
To
86.
get rid of somebody.
Yeah. It happened to me and Talia one time when we were trying to go into the rickshaw stop, and we'd rubbed off the X's on our hands because we were 18, and he told us to never come back, otherwise we'd get 86. And I remember looking it up at the time.
Oh, this was Megan sent in it. Was it, or was it you, Glynis, that sent the thing that was all the like 80s slang or the
Oh yeah, it was like
90s
welcome to
slang?
the 90s. Everybody
Oh,
on the
yeah.
forums is like awesome.
It wasn't awesome though. It was like weird stuff I'd never heard of before.
Some of it was like I remember, but yeah, some was.
The one, it was like bioptic or
Oh yeah,
something
and
like that.
I know.
We're like,
Oh, it's rhyming slang for Knicks.
oh, 86 Knicks.
Oh.
That's good. I like that.
Getting mixed. It was a 1930s soda counter slang.
Oh, I'm back in. Now I
Yeah,
love
I
it.
know.
Love
You made that
it.
face, and I was like, I'll
You're
let
like,
you.
wait for
Yeah.
it. Megan, you're gonna like how this plays out.
Like, hey, yo.
Okay, I like 86. Okay, I like the root of it
You're
now.
back in.
Yeah, I'm back in, guys. Should
Okay.
we do the beats?
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
Episode beats. Thunder weather, no. Secret drawer's closet hiding, no.
I guess they were both hiding on the boat. I don't know. That's
Yeah, I
so that
mean,
the
and then he
boat
was
like
hiding in a hotel.
and so he was able to
Yeah.
get out there and
Oh,
like rig up
yeah.
the bomb. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a boat hotel hiding.
Boat
Boat hotel.
hotel.
Classic boat hotel hiding.
A
Place
motel.
poisoning, bludgeoning. We have an explosion, and I wrote Kevin, and then I wrote not Kevin, was Doug. So clearly, I didn't think I was gonna remember anything about this episode, even though you and I watched it less than 24 hours ago, Megan.
No,
I was
when
like,
I was watching it, I had to write it. I'd watched it the day before, but I'd written Burns and forgot to write who said them. And so then I had to be
yeah.
like, oh, he's saying it to her, or like, I
Yeah,
forgot.
I have one in my notes that just says funny boy. but I have no contacts as to
Classic funny boy.
Classic.
Phone wire cut. Someone hung up on Judith. I guess was that? I can't remember who that was. I just wrote that down. Funny boy did it. Tire check. We had an old sort of phone. Oh yeah, I guess it was Kevin. And a wall phone. So there was like the one where the phones hang on the wall and it has the kind of vertical, horizontal.
And the VCR.
Oh yeah, that was good.
VCR,
oh
my the God. Tape going back and forth repeatedly. Enhance. Forever.
Enhance. yes, I love that. When they were rewinding it, I was like, they are destroying that tape.
Yeah.
That is not going to survive. She shaking Nick grab Paula. I did write that down, Megan. Bro code violation. I mean, I wrote Paula and Kevin because like, but he wasn't having an affair. He'd already left his wife, right? So it's hard to know if that was anything other than annoying.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bro code violation, but
okay, that's fine. I'm gonna put no then. window peep. No, I don't think so.
No.
Fake name ID. No. Although I guess the bodies get confused for each other, so people think Doug is Kevin.
Yeah, that I think that counts.
Okay. Confused. Drinking game, Keats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fuzz slash cop quirk is just Amos.
Or the boy on the girls' basketball team.
Yeah, you know. The boy on the girls' basketball team. Hey, what wild times we live in, everybody.
You'll never believe.
The fuzz slash cop quirk, it's Amos, so there's no cop chemistry. No rooms get raided. Businessy business, we have investigative journalism, I think is our topic. I heart Hartley, no. Age ain't nothing but a number.
Yes, this is what I'm.
Okay, so Amos Tupper was 59. Dr. Wiley Graham was 53. Richard Abbott was 43. Doug Hellman was 45. Mayor Sam Booth was 46. George Fish was 51. Judith Keats was 54. Kevin Keats was 49. Paula Roman was 38. And Nick Brody, the 63-year-old reporter, was 70.
Oh. Well, that's...
No, it's not bad.
He didn't look 63. I was worried you were going to say that he was like 52.
No, he was, not far off and older than he said. So he, you know, but... from that information, I was shocked Kevin and Paula were as close in age as they were.
Yes. And I guess, okay, if he's 70 and she's 38, like to him, she is a kid. I guess. I mean, I thought she was older than.
I mean, if anyone called any of us kid.
It's patron. It's annoying. Like, I'd be pretty annoyed.
Like, if dad or Uncle Alex was like, hey, kid.
I lose my mind.
I think the thing is the dynamic here is supposed to be, I think 38 seems older to me than what she, like, to me, she felt like she was 25. Nick had taken her under his wing and been sort of like a mentor to her. And the way he was saying kid initially felt like that kind of dynamic and maybe a thing she didn't really mind too much because she it's patronizing, but it was sort of like there was like a warmth to it that maybe because of the nature of that relationship. But now that she's like almost 40 and he's like, you know, it sort of changes the dynamic a little bit of what that looks like, because they're not meant to be equals. But then I think also in the episode, she sort of never seems that bothered by that because she's like, she seems to sort of be like, this is his thing. He's experienced in this. I like doing these sort of human interest pieces. So like, I'm not, you know, so I think, I know what you're saying. It's annoying, but it did also kind of make sense for the characters, except that then like, she's like, not that.
It reminded me of, when you were talking, it reminded me of Robert Redford and Michelle Pfeiffer. That movie they did where they're both
Oh, Up Close and
journalists.
Personal.
Up
Oh,
Close and Personal.
actually, I saw that in the theater.
I haven't seen it in a while.
I'm sure. Did you and I not see it together? I feel like that
Maybe.
could have been a real Ashley Susanna theater excursion because
Yes.
it feels like something we absolutely would have. At like
Definitely.
14, you and I would
Right,
have been like,
right.
this is the movie for me about an
Right.
aging news
But
reporter
doesn't
in his
one of
up
them
and
get
coming
blown
life.
up in it?
Yeah, he dies.
He does or she does?
He does because
Oh.
it's a The Star Is Born story, but
Yeah.
through news journalism. I'm sure it's
Yeah.
him that dies, and then she has to. And you're like looking at Michelle Pfeiffer, you're like, she's so pretty. Like, she's gonna be fine. She's gonna be absolutely fine. But you're right. I mean, he would have been a bit older than her. I don't know how much. Maybe not
20
that.
years?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't
Yeah, okay, so
know.
Nick here is 70 and Paula's 38, so they're 32 years. I mean, I don't think there was any kind of like smooching going on there.
I had no idea this movie was written by Joan Didion.
Wait.
What, Up Close and
Just a
Personal is
separate, just
written
a
by
separate. I just
Joan
had to like,
Didion. They're
yes.
22
22 years apart.
between Robert Redford and Michelle Pfeiffer.
Okay. It felt
Yeah.
similar. And I could see him calling her
Oh,
kid.
does he not call her kid in the
I'm
movie? You're
assuming he
absolutely
does.
right. Like, that
Yeah.
feels so. There's a whole bit, but the thing is that's different with that to hear is Robert Redford, even at that age, is like so unspeakably hot that it's like, even though Michelle Pfeiffer is like so beautiful, you're like, kind of believe that these two people would get to, and they're like war journalists, so they get thrown together in like the heat of battle, and then they like try to make their relationship. And you're right, I think he does get blown up. God, it's yeah, that what a great movie.
I'm just still reeling from that Joan Didion wrote the.
Well, it looks like it was loosely based on a true story, so.
Okay.
I think that, you know, it's funny, like people talk about this sometimes, like Ashley probably hears it more than the rest of us, is like this idea of like this kind of like drama for adults that would have also done really well at the theater. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, who would pay money to go see a movie like that now? You
Right.
just wouldn't. You'd be like, it's, I will stream it on a Tuesday night when I have a little bit of time. I don't know. I remember it being pretty sad, but
Yeah.
like, you know. Okay. Jonathan Scale, Paula.
She's trying. She's thinking of pieces. She's doing the proactive bits, trying to get people on board.
She's like working hard too. She's
Yeah.
more of in the way she's like pining after him, like talking like a little like an Amy, but not that level.
Oh, you mean Hartley's daughter?
Yeah, the one that the
What is
name.
it? Was it Amy? Was
I
that her
think
name?
so. She's not like one of those girls that's like but again, if you're like they had no chemistry, so it's like they just had to like say that they liked each other. Although
I
I
know.
don't even think he ever said he liked her.
No, he said, "Get me out of this jail cell." That was their only scene together.
You're true.
I mean,
True.
it didn't really seem like she was pining for him that hard.
He said she was giddy as a schoolgirl when she found out he was alive, Glynnis.
Actions speak louder than words. She's like, do not leave this jail cell, funny boy, or else.
Funny boy.
I it wasn't her who said it. I don't know who said it. The
Old
one
funny
thing with
boy.
Paula that I liked was she roped Jessica in immediately. Like, so she, as soon as stuff started going wrong, she was like, I can trust Jessica and I'm gonna tell her everything I know. And I always like that in a character because you're like, okay, we're not. I just didn't like when she said I was giddy as a
I
schoolgirl. She said, I
hated it.
didn't know whether to laugh, to cry. You're like, I hate you so much. This is so annoying.
Well, and she like made a sad face, so Jessica was like, I'm on to her.
Paula, are you okay? She's
Yeah.
like, I'm fine. Can I give you a lift home? Jessica's like, yeah, thank you. That's why I asked.
Yeah, she's like, I want you to fill the tank.
These days, no. Petite feet, no. Glamour shots. I said we had a clip of the show, which
Yeah.
I thought was good. Smooches, no. The bloody hands, we do see the boat explode,
Yes.
yeah, which I
Yeah.
thought was very good. Familial ties, this is Cabot Cove, so technically no, but a friend function, I don't think really applies here.
I mean, she ends
They're
up
not
being friends with
really
Paula.
friends.
They're like sort of, yeah, they're a bit like up close and personal. They're thrown together in extreme circumstances. Eyes closed, head shake, yes. Like, are you guys just now looking through the Wikipedia page for up close and personal? Because I don't have my second screen up. Otherwise, that's exactly what I would be doing.
Of who? Of what?
Up close and
I did
personal.
already do that, and now I'm looking at young Robert Redford.
Also, do yourself a
Very
favor
hot.
and look up the guy that played Nick Young because wow,
Oh yeah. Yeah. You
Nick,
mean
I can't remember his name now.
Nick Brody. His name is
Mark something?
Mark Stevens.
I was like, whoa.
Like, I didn't think he was a bad-looking older guy.
Just, I think I was too distracted by like the grimness of his crime.
It's the desperation in it is horrible. And that's always the bit. Like, it's not fun, is it? Not
No,
the
it's, and he just wants, it's a newsman, you know? I don't know. It's too.
He's like, it's all I've got, Jessica. It's all I got. It was the wrapping paper. The wrapping paper.
The
Okay, I'm so sorry. Segments. Fave outfit, worst outfit, Ashley. What do you think?
I had fave outfit. Okay, I weirdly liked Jessica's mock turtleneck sweatshirt with the small pockets that she's wearing at the beginning.
Okay.
And I liked Mr. Keats, Kevin's members only jacket and jeans as he runs onto the boat.
Oh my God, those jeans were painted on.
Yeah,
I was like,
they
wow, how did
were.
they get him in there?
I know. And the worst outfit was Paula had a lot of bad looks. But Paula's white silk blouse in the beginning when they're sitting around the conference table discussing next pieces.
I mean, Paula's fashion
I
was
know.
rough, rough,
And
rough.
the 80s were so unforgiving to curly hair. So I was
No.
almost going to say her hair, but then I was like, no, that's how people styled curly hair back then. And I just don't think it was kind.
Okay.
Well, I guess I'm gonna have to think about what my worst outfit was then based
Oh
on
my
that
God. No, go
comment.
ahead. No, go ahead. Just the wet, curly look. Her hair looks fine now.
It's like they look at curly hair and they're like either full up, like touching the sky, or full mullet. Like you cannot have it any other way than one of those two directions. It's pretty cruel. And it has to be greased into oblivion. So it's that's unkind. Glynis, what about you?
So I agree. I didn't love Paula's outfits, but I did like her blue jacket and like purple plaid shirt. It was like
Okay.
very like one color, and I just thought that that was fun. Also, I thought Jessica was wearing a red jumpsuit or like boiler suit, but it was just a like members only jacket with a red skirt, and I would have liked to see her to seen her in a boiler suit. Worst outfit, well, it was sort of a hate slash love. The guy's wife, was it Doug? Kevin. No, it was Doug.
Kevin.
Kevin. Yeah. His wife was wearing this like velour and bedazzled jacket, and I just like couldn't land on whether I hated it or loved it.
Okay. Megan, what about you?
Jessica wore a red jacket that was like, I think, is that what you're talking about? Was it two piece?
Yeah.
Okay. I liked that. And then Kevin wore a sweater with kitchen, I think, that I just, maybe if Jessica had been wearing it, it would have been better, but not on him.
Okay, sorry, Megan. I also put Kevin's sweater down as my worst outfit, but I also did put Paula's hair. Because it was very bad. And I totally take on board Ashley's comments, because we know that Ron Ross, the drug dealer, had the exact same haircut as Paula, and they both had curly hair. So the hairdressers on set were like, we cannot be dealing with this. They have to have the same. And for Fave outfit, I just wrote, I don't remember writing this, but I just wrote all barf. So I guess I didn't like any. But they all looked bad.
All barf.
All barf.
All barf.
All barf. I think it, you know, I think Paula's, I guess Nick was probably wearing okay stuff. It was like probably a shirt and jeans and trousers, like, but I did think Kevin's looks were aggressively bad, some of them, and Paula's were. So, okay, biggest hunk. Glynis, what do you think?
I'm gonna go Judith Keats, the wife.
Judith, okay. Megan?
I'm gonna argue that this is kind of a hunk heavy episode.
Oh.
Like Chris Pine's dad,
Yeah.
Doug, he's very cute. The guy we've not discussed once, I don't remember his job. He's like the ad
Oh,
guy.
the VP,
Yeah,
yeah.
whatever he is, he's pretty cute. Now that I know what Nick looks like younger, I didn't, not to be whatever, but yeah, he's cute. I mean, and Chad Everett's not a bad looking guy.
He's very like of a time.
Yeah.
Like the, like you could I you could see in the 80s a lot of people being like, that guy is
Put him
a hot ticket.
in that sweater and just.
That VP was cute. He was kind of funny too. He was such a douche.
I mean,
But
like,
like
and Jessica's like, you know what else we have in Cabot Cove? Like, you know, we have we know about ratings or something. He's like, oh, you know about ratings here.
I probably could have done with more of him,
You know,
really.
get rid of, yeah, the love story and just more of that guy.
Ashley, what about you? Biggest hunk.
Kevin.
Kevin, okay. I put
Yeah.
Doug.
Yeah.
See?
It's a great choice.
I think I wish Doug was in it more. He had
Yeah. Oh,
but
yeah.
the one scene. I hope they paid him for
Also,
the
why
day.
are we the hunk? Grumpy and annoying, but like a hunk.
Well,
Yeah,
he is
I'd
a
agree.
hunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good-looking guy. If he wasn't so grumpy, he probably would be hotter. So that's like a real missed opportunity.
He's like that old curmudgeon.
I mean, it's like you don't, this is the trouble. It's like a hot guy isn't a good curmudgeon, because a hot guy would never be a curmudgeon. Life had afforded him too many opportunities for him to be so beaten down by things. Okay, Megan, JB Burns, hit me.
Okay, I've got a few, but I'll just try to because there were some that I thought were God, wait, why am I having
Sunny boy.
Oh, okay. Favorite burn was when the reporter from another that they're watching on TV is like, it's so sad that Kevin Keats, like an urbane, sophisticated journalist, would meet his end in a jerkwater town where the crickets die of boredom. I very much enjoyed that. And I liked when Amos called someone a nosy Parker.
Yes, that's good.
I like that.
Any
And
more?
what Wiley's talking about Seth, he's like one sore head that I can't name. It's like, Jesus Christ, Wiley.
I think Jessica says
Oh,
that.
Jessica says it.
Yeah, because
Yeah,
that she's a flipping fair weather friend, man. Like,
that's because she's trying to. Although I did feel like Chad Everett was trying to smooch Jessica.
little bit. He was like, wanted to win her
Yeah.
over. I
Okay,
thought
sorry.
when Jessica first met Nick, there was like a little romance brewing.
He's
A
like, hey,
frisson.
kid.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a
Fair
news
man.
man. It's like, I'm Hugh Downs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's not like a Hugh Downs newsman. He's like one of these guys that sits like chain smoking in a room. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
On a typewriter, just like pounding coffee and like whiskey and like, you know, like Hugh Downs a little more refined. But yes, I love the impression.
Thank you.
I'm trying to think of who's like a real like hard as nails news anchor from the 80s, 90s. You got like Like, would
Oh, like
Walter
who's the
Cronkite
Vanity
be a...
Fair guy? You can ignore me while I figure it out.
Who's the guy? Wait, is it Twilight Zone that they keep cutting together for like Instagram memes where he's like, not today, not sure about that, or it's like intrusive thoughts.
Oh,
It's
right.
do you ever talk to your cat? Do you think about the washing machine running? Like, what's that guy's name?
That's the guy that we just saw in Jonathan Frakes.
Jonathan is Tales of the Unsolved or something like
Yeah.
that. Jonathan, I
Oh,
love
we all do.
Jonathan Frakes. Wait, Megan, what was Walter Cronkite like?
I don't know.
I can't remember anything. Ashley, do you have any J.B. Burns?
Yes, I have one. Where was it? Oh, I think Nick says this, but or someone says, while you've been playing little man who wasn't there, we've been working. Yeah, Nick said that. I was like, well, he was.
That's good.
Glynis, do you have any?
So I have a few. I can't remember who said them or what, but
Funny, funny
those.
boy.
Yeah, Funny Boy just stands on its own. And I think this is the wife. Anyways, they say, I don't have to make you look bad. You're able to do that all by yourself.
Doug says that.
Doug says that. And then Kevin says to Jessica, my image of you was more homespun.
Yeah.
And then someone says, you should really learn the difference between an intrusion and a warning.
Oh, yeah, I like that the wife says that.
Yeah. Oh, and then obviously honorable mention to Ronald McDonald.
Of course.
The only thing I added was Judith said, and if you see my husband, give him my worst. Which I was
Yeah,
like,
that's
Judith is like, hasn't moved on. But it's
good.
funny. Okay, fave guest star. Who are we? Ashley, fave guest star.
I had Nick.
Okay.
Yeah.
Glynis?
I'll go Judith.
Judith. Okay. Megan?
No one.
Nick, yeah, sure. An
Is good.
unhinged monologue, of course. The wrapping paper.
That is good. I just put Sam Booth.
Yeah, good call.
I liked him being involved. Okay, Glynis's guess. Who'd you guess, Glynis?
So I guess the concierge, because he was on
Okay.
the phone. Yeah.
Oh, right.
And so I was like, if anyone's going to overhear the conversation, it's going to be this guy. But then I didn't think about the other person in the other room that I wouldn't have thought about. So,
No, the one nobody cared about.
even I didn't care
Okay.
about him.
What do we think Glynis gave Obituary for Dead Anchor? I'm gonna say like a four.
10 out of 10.
Is that how Glynis? Megan, Ashley, do you feel
I agree.
four?
Yeah.
Okay.
That seems generous, honestly. I mean, well, no. Yeah, four sounds right.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was a four. There wasn't really anything like bad about this episode. Just
Yeah.
I found it as a smidge slow.
It's
Okay.
snoozy.
It is
Yeah, and a
so
lot of
snoozy.
like jumps around that, like, yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I don't know. I've seen this episode before and I didn't remember it being like that, but it is a little more snoozy than I thought.
Did you have a fave moment? Sorry, did you have a fave moment, Glynis?
My name's Glynis.
I just wanted to call you Ashley.
fave moment. This is kind of a weird moment to say, but the image of the boat exploding, because it was like a different time of day. The boat had like clearly not been moving for like ages, and it did sort of feel like it was like in a bathtub. So like it was more a commentary on the special effects than anything.
Okay, so good. Okay. Ashley, what do you give Obituary for Dead Anchor?
I give it a 6 out of 10.
Okay. And fave moment?
My fave moment was Jessica asking Kevin Keats' ex-wife how many toes her husband has.
Okay.
Yeah,
Glad
and
to
I thought
see
the
it.
ending was really sad because I think sometimes when people murder out of like being forgotten or like cast aside, just adds like it's just sad. So
So sad.
and it ends on the
it
like
ends sad.
ends on the monologue, which is always a
The
real kick in the
toughie.
teeth.
Yeah,
Yeah.
like call the cops, like I'm gonna finish this.
And then he like looks off ponderously as he's right.
Oh.
It's just like, hey. Megan, out of 10, what'd you give it?
I'll go 6 also, and my favorite is the scene where the reporter is just like ripping on
Oh,
Cabot.
yeah, that was good actually. You know what? That'll be my favorite moment too. I was gonna say the expose at the beginning Kevin's doing with the
Oh
art
yeah.
like drug dealer guy, but actually that bit was did make me laugh.
So good.
They went like nowhere with that subplot.
I know, and then also they're like working on this like obituary piece. Like I thought in the news you had like 5 minutes to get something like that sorted. They're like working on it for like days. But yeah, so I this is gonna sound really harsh. I gave this a 3. I think I you know, sorry. I was
What are
legit
you
just
gonna
laughing.
give the next one?
I mean, for real.
I think the next one is like I thought this one was so boring. And I did remember like partway through I was gonna make Megan tell me how much more time was left. And I never feel like that about Murder, She Wrote, because even if it's bad, there's something to hang your hat on. And here I just didn't.
Yeah.
It just kept going on and on and on. I was like, I don't care about any of these people. I'm just not interested. There's not enough Sam Booth. There's not enough, there's no Seth.
Yeah.
Not enough Amos even. Like, so anyways. But yeah, fave moment was the jerk Watertown soliloquy.
Yeah.
News reporter. Okay. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to add about obituary for a dead anchor? Okay. Thank you, Glynis. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for listening, and we hope you'll join us again next week. Bye.
Bye.